Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on General Government, Thursday, February 15th, 2007, Hearing Room 170, 8:30 a.m.
Good morning. Welcome to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on General Government. We are looking to talk to the Board of Tax Practitioners this morning on their budget, and today is Thursday, February 15th. Do you have any words of wisdom for us this morning, Mr. Walker?
Chair Jensen, representative of the committee, put in front of you I think yesterday Chair Jensen requested the AG opinions on using social security numbers that the Board of Accounts had talked about yesterday, so I put those in front of you for your review in the envelopes. And then other than that, I'd just like to call up Dwayne Hunter and Mary Van Natta with the Board of Tax Practitioners, and we'll get going.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Chair Jensen, members of the committee, my name is Dwayne Hunter. I'm the executive director for the Board of Tax Practitioners. With me this morning is the board's chair, Mary Vanetta, and our BAM analyst, Sean Range. We'll start this morning by having our Mary Vanetta say a couple comments in regards to some of the board's history.
Chair Jensen and the rest of the committee members, thank you for allowing us to make this presentation this morning. Our agency was, our board was formed in 1973 and actually began operating.
For the record, your name, please.
Mary Vanetta.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm chair of the Board of Tax Practitioners this year. Our board is a consumer protection licensing board, and we oversee people who prepare personal income tax returns for valuable consideration. We have seven members on our board. There are six of us that are active licensed tax consultants and one that's a public member. We have a full-time staff of four to administer our program, and our board issues two levels of licensing. We have licensed tax preparers, which is the entry level, and then licensed tax consultants. Our licensed tax preparers are required to take an 80-hour basic course before they can sit for an exam to become licensed tax preparers, and then after they've had 2 years of experience working in the industry, and after they take another exam, a more complex one, they can become licensed tax consultants and work on their own. Our tax firms and their branch offices are registered by the board as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Questions? Thank you.
Please. And I'll go ahead and continue, Chair Jensen. Members of the committee, I'd like to discuss some of the key budget drivers and big issues. I'd like to have you refer to the Excel spreadsheet handout that I provided this morning. The AG is requesting a examination business registration fee increase. The increase in revenues will be used for the following. I won't go through the entire, but I'll start with the top portion of it. The type of license is a consultant license. We currently have approximately 1,980. These are using 06 figures. In the 05-07, the license fee was $75. We're asking for an increase of $20 per year. So the 07-09, the new fee would be $95, and then it tells what the biennial increases are.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Senator Whitson.
Just to be clear here, these are, this $95 is not a biennial fee, it's an annual fee, so the biennial fee would be $190, is that right?
Chair Jensen, Senator Whitsitt, that is correct. That is a fee of $95 to register the business each year. We do our renewal process in May and September. May being for the consultants, and if you own a business, and in September if you're a preparer, so you would pay a fee of $95. In addition to that, and this does not reflect it, but I appreciate you bringing that up, we do offer a combined licensing, which provides a $50 discount. An example of that would be for the consultant, instead of paying the $75 and the $95, there would be a $50 discount if you renew them both at the same time. And that discount would continue on. It doesn't affect it in the fee increase. The consultant licenses are done on an annual basis, along with the preparers, the branch registrations. We have contacted not only our licensees, but also associations such as the Oregon Society of Task Consultants, the Oregon Association of Task Consultants, Oregon Association of Independent Accountants. We did a serve list to all 4,000 of our licensees asking for feedback. The feedback that we did get was all positive. The only and I don't even think negative is the correct term, was some of the recommendations were maybe to have a higher branch fee or maybe a higher consultant fee, but as far as the dollar amounts that were assessed, nobody had any concerns with that. The board has not had a fee increase in 6 years, since 2001. The fees the monies generated from the fee increase are explained in the expenses. The board is asking to hire a office specialist. It takes in consideration inflation, salary increases, assessments, rents, equipment upgrades, and an upgrade to the compliance program. I will be speaking about these in more detail in the rest of my presentation. So if I don't have any questions in regards to the spreadsheet, then I'll just go ahead and continue with the presentation.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Like I indicated earlier, it's at a clerical position. This is an office specialist one to the agency. This position will allow technical staff to maximize their performance by eliminating clerical duties such as filing and stuffing envelopes, improve the agency's database, in line with DAS to upgrade our computer systems. The DAS recommendation is every 6 years. We last upgraded in 2003. This would allow us to upgrade before in the 07-09, which stayed in line with DAS's guidelines. Other fees are personnel costs, general inflation, rents, attorney general, and state government service charges. Next, I'd like to talk about our key performance measures. The agency has six formal performance measures, and I'll talk about them briefly. Number of practitioners assisted in tax returns per licensed tax professional. This measures the overload that can affect competency and ethics. Our ideal number is 160 returns prepared on average by licensed tax professionals. Currently we're at 198, and we are working towards that. The second key performance measure is the average number of continuing education hours completed each year by licensees reported during the year. We require that when consultants and preparers renew their license, that they provide 30 hours of continuing education. We also recommend and try to educate our licensees that those 30 hours on an is in an area that they need to become more proficient in. Currently, we are receiving an average of 37 hours per licensee, so they are meeting, you know, above the minimum, and that is an average figure. The number of hours it takes to make initial response to a consumer complaint, currently we're at 6 hours. This key performance measure, we feel we are at an acceptable point now, and we're looking for different ways to track that type of response. The fourth key performance measure is the number of consumer complaints handled satisfactorily each year. For the 06 year, it was 8,000. And how that figure comes about is if we receive a complaint of an individual and that individual has prepared, say, 200 tax returns, then we look at the fact that there were 200 Oregonians affected. So that's how you come up with a figure like 8,000. Fifth key performance measure is excellent customer service. We did do a customer satisfaction survey, and in 2006, 75% is what we were receiving as far as positive. This is a new measure. We will continue to look for ways to get the survey out. We did do it to our licensees by email, through a newsletter. Also, when we do education and presentations to our licensees, we make that survey available so they can go ahead and respond. And it's also out on the web. Effective governance is our sixth and last key performance measure. The director reviews the agency's strategic plan, policy development, and ensures the agency's fiscal responsibility and will make adjustments as needed to ensure success of the agency. In addition, I'd like to just give some additional information that connects to key performance measures 4 and 5. And I'd like to just kind of let you have a brief understanding of our complaint process, which currently is averaging 6 hours. When calls are made to the office or emails, calls are all answered by staff. We do not have an automated process. We have a live person, not a recording, that takes the call. One of the examples that I think is creative that the board does is if we get a question about a licensee, we often put that person on hold, use another line, and call the licensee directly to see if we can get it resolved right there, and then talk to the consumer and say, you know, you can call them right now. We've talked to them. It is difficult to get a hold of our licensees during season, but the licensees are very responsive to the board. They will even take our call even if they are with a client. The other example would be if we received a complaint, we will call the licensee, send an email, and try to contact them regarding, you know, if it's an unlicensed preparer. We will also try to get in touch with them as soon as possible. If we're not able to get a hold of them within 3 days, we send a letter either to the licensee or to the unlicensed person asking them to respond. For unlicensed individuals, we allow 2 weeks to respond to the board. For licensees, they have 21 days to respond to the board. That's after not responding to phone calls or not responding to emails. If they do not respond at that point, the board moves to enforcement action and would continue forward with its investigation going towards enforcement. I did want to mention a couple things that are in line with the governor's legislative priorities. In regards to consumer protection, the regulation of licensees and stopping unlicensed activity in Oregon ties in with the governor's legislative priorities regarding consumer protection. Keeping Oregon competitive, and I will talk about this a little bit more detail later, businesses in the tax profession, we create a path for the individuals to be able to start as a preparer, then become a consultant, and then have their own business. And in regards to anti-discrimination, we work very closely with a wide variety of ethnicities, Hispanic, Asian, Russian. Those are a lot of times in regards to unlicensed activity that happens in those areas. And we also work with people in getting them licensed. The board's performance measures are used to manage the agency. Each measure is linked to the board's mission. The agency is managed to continue to successfully deliver the mission of consumer protection. The agency's budget is designed to deliver the agency's mission to the citizens of Oregon. The measures are simply to inform the agency on their success in delivering the board's mission. The agency believes that there is a relationship to the number of returns prepared to the probability of errors found on tax returns. I talked earlier about one of the key performance measures being the volume that a person prepares. The agency is working towards a license preparing 160 returns per year. Currently, we are behind on that goal, but we are working with a mentor program to try to have our professionals be able to go from a preparer to a consultant and encouraging more businesses out there to try to get it in that 160 mark. The agency's programs have been implemented this past biennium to help close the gap between actual number and the goal. One program, like I indicated, is the mentorship program, which is the relationship between the tax preparer and the tax consultant. The agency's performance measures are links indirectly to benchmark 33, the percentage of Oregonians who understand Oregon tax system and where their tax money is spent.
Okay. Hey, Representative Galizio.
Mr. Hunter, I have two questions on the performance measures. One is on the customer service survey. What was the response rate on that? And then the second question was, how did you arrive at the 160 number as the ideal for tax practitioners that they should do? How did you arrive at that 160 number?
Chair Jensen, Representative Galizio, the 160 number is something that I became the director in January, and I was looking through previous budgets and previous documents when they had meetings with associations, and there was discussions with the board on what would be a reasonable number, and I was able to identify the 160, but I don't have a specific answer where that came from. I'd be happy to do some additional research and give that number to you.
I think the chair shares that question. I just want to get marked down here. Or that concern, where that number came from.
Okay.
And so I would like to have some idea of where it came from. I have, you know, some kind of thoughts on it, but since I'm not in that business, I'd rather have you explain it to me. I'm sorry, Representative. Huh? I didn't mean to interfere.
No, you're not. And then...
Go ahead.
And the other question was in regards to the customer satisfaction survey. What type of response did we get? Are you talking
the rate of response? In other words, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. In other words, you said that to administer the survey, you went online, and I'm just wondering you know, the response rate. In other words, what percentage of those that you contacted responded to the survey?
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I don't necessarily need to the answer right now. Just
yeah.
Out of curiosity. So.
Chair Jensen, Representative Glazio. Glazio. Sorry.
As long as you get the O at the end, it sounds Italian, it's fine.
I agree. I will also respond to the committee with that information.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and continue.
Please.
Prioritized list of programs and services. Each program is contingent on the success of others. The programs were prioritized between licensing, compliance and enforcement, and administration in that order. The problem the agency has in setting priorities is without one area, the other area may not exist. An example is if there was no licensing program, then the compliance and enforcement and administration would not exist. Conversely, if there was no compliance enforcement or administration, then the licensing program would simply be a state program that issues a credential with no substance behind it for protection to the consumer. Policy option package and quality efficiency improvements. The agency is funded entirely by other funds derived from licensing fees, examination fees, business registration, proctor fees, and other miscellaneous fees. An example of a miscellaneous fee would be a fine or a civil penalty, a public records request, a copy of license. Those are really the only other miscellaneous fees that the board does charge. The agency is starting to see results from these programs and will continue to work on increasing the number of tax professionals. The major change in the last 5 years for the agency has been establishing its financial stability. The agency's low point in its yearly budget cycle is the month of March. In March of 2007, the projected ending balance is $192,499, or slightly over a four-month ending balance. The agency's financial stability was achieved not through a fee increase, we have not had one in 6 years, but by controlling the agency's expenditures and finding more and efficient, effective delivery of its services. In June of... in June of 2007, it will be over 6 years since the agency has increased its fees. The lowering of expenditures of the board has not diminished the agency's delivery of its programs. In many cases, the board delivery of services has actually improved. Some examples of the agency has taken to lower costs while improving delivery of its programs.
Senator Whitson, please.
Thank you for your attention. Mr. Hunter, perhaps you'll come to this later, but you've obviously been efficient in what you've been doing. Now you're asking for an increase in fees and an increase in staffing. How long will, you know, what will be your ending balance if you're granted these fee increases? What will be your ending balance, and And what is your projection for how long it will be before you need to raise fees again?
Chair Jensen, Senator Whitsitt, to answer your question, we would not anticipate a fee increase needed until the 2010-2011. The only thing would be something unforeseen, which would be maybe a substantial increase in unlicensed activity or something from the consumer in that aspect. And to answer your question, thanks, Sean. In regards to the anticipated ending balance, would be $179,130, which is on page 109 of the budget book. Does that answer your question? Okay, thank you.
Senator Johnson.
As long as we're taking this break in your presentation, what's the level of communication that you have with your licensees with respect to fee increases? How do they get to weigh in as to their opinion about your agency doing that?
Representative Jensen, Senator Johnson, I spoke about it a little earlier, but I'd be happy to...
No, if you've already covered it, I apologize.
No, that's I can do it in just a couple seconds. We used the serve list and emailed our licensees. We also made the request through our newsletter. We've been in touch with the association.
That's fine. I don't want to re-hold this role,
okay.
So thank you.
I'll go ahead and continue.
Please.
Thank you. Cost savings, containing lower costs, publishing all our forms on the website, allowing Oregonians to download the forms at home, eliminating the need for the agency to mail them. Publishing the board meeting minutes on the website, which decreases the need to copy and mail meeting minutes to interested parties. Another cost saving is contracting with community colleges to proctor our examinations. I talked about that in the agency overview, but when we talk about giving the examinations for the preparers and for the consultants, we actually contract with colleges and universities throughout the state of Oregon. They are assessed a $30 proctor fee. They can take in their own community. They don't have to drive to Salem. And we do that from Ontario to Klamath Falls to Portland. And that's helped people be able to take these tests and become licensed tax professionals. Using MasterCard and Visa to paying for licensing, examination, and proctor fees. That has sped up our process. The agency is working on fillable forms. For example, would be our renewal process, being able to use serve lists and email a smart form, a fillable form that they could fill out that would also prompt them. They couldn't enter numbers in an alpha area and those kind of things, and it would speed up the processing, and also there's savings as far as the mailing costs. Currently, in the past, we have mailed all our renewals out to the licensees. And we continue to provide access for the consumer to obtain current license information. That's out on our web pages and also in our newsletters and also through our public meetings. We also have post all our disciplinary actions, both for licensees and unlicensed activity, on our webpage. If they pay their civil penalty or lose their license, they are still posted out there for a minimum of a year. If they fail to pay their civil penalty or sent to collections, they continue to stay out on our webpage, and we have them back to 2001. And that's part of our mission to help protect the consumer. The agency continues to hold one examination here in Salem to coincide with the ending of the professional tax school 80-hour basic course. This allows the agency to test 300 examinees at one time. We use a facility at Chemehuevca Community College. Agency staff and volunteers proctor the examination. The agency does not charge a proctor fee, and we do that every year in December. Briefly, previously the agency had owned its computer server and contracted with private vendors to maintain the server. We currently use DAS now. Our computer systems are all in conjunction with DAS. This eliminates a lot of the maintenance issues and improves the reliability of the agency's database. And we've done that since 2003. With the proposed fee increase, the revenues created from the current fee structure were sufficient for the agency's program. The agency is now pursuing the 2007-2009 BIM with a fee increase in order to remain financially sound. By increasing the fees and not relying on our ending balance to maintain our program, we feel that that's being prudent and being financially responsible. We also really are at a level where all our staff, technical people, we really can't do more with what we have. We want to be able to free up their technical time so we can get to investigations quicker, process the examinations quicker, do the licensing process more effectively by having somebody being able to do the filing and help with the phone answering. And you know, because we do strive for a high level of customer service. At this point, I think I've given you a pretty good idea, and I'd be more than happy to answer any of the committee's questions. And if I don't have the answer, I will get it back to you as soon as possible in addition to the previous two questions. And I thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you. Representative Edwards.
When were fees last increased?
Chair Jensen, Representative Edwards, in 2001 was the last time there was a fee increase.
Thank you. That's
it. Representative Byer.
Thank you. Looking through this, and again, is there a proposed percentage increase? I assume there's some type of a fee rate structure or something. Is there a certain amount that's proposed, or...
Chair Jensen, Representative Byer, I'd be happy to probably explain that. It's a fixed increase. Currently, our fees are in statute, and they are at the max. What we are asking is for a fixed increase, as indicated on the spreadsheet, and that would put that to the top of the fee that's are in statute. Our agency is kind of unique because our fees are in statute as opposed to being in rule. They're administered through rule, but they're actually in statute.
Thank you. I'm sorry I missed that page.
That's fine.
I was looking through the book. That's
fine. Other questions?
Chair Jensen, committee, I just wanted to point out that the Board of Tax Practitioners has a fee bill that's going through the process, and we're trying to get it referred down to Ways and Means so we can have it down here instead of in a policy committee. So this fee increase has not been put in place yet, and what we will do is, in part of my recommendation, will be to pull this package out of their budget pending the passing of their fee bill. And when their fee bill passes, we will add it back in at the end of the session as part of the Christmas tree bill. So initially, we're going to pull that out. I think it's a good package for them, and I think they've done their homework, and they're expending their money wisely. But I just wanted to let you know that what you'll see from LFO is pulling that package out, and then we'll add it back in when and if their fee bill actually passes. Thank you.
Other questions? Representative Cromwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Going to the fees for a second, I was calculating in my head because I didn't bring my calculator with me. So these numbers are going to be a little bit off. But on these fee increases, we're looking at anywhere from about a 14% increase. Oh, there it is, 15.8%. I had that at 14. Anyway, to about 40%. I'm having a little bit of, thank you, Representative, I'm having a little bit of heartburn over that. Because those are pretty good size jumps. If we were to, I guess the number one question that if I were a licensee in your organization, of your organization, and I saw these fee increases coming at me, my number one question would be, what's the value add? What do I get for it? I mean, if I'm a if I'm a consultant licensed, which I'm not, licensed consultant, my fees would be going up about 25%. What do I get for that? And I think that's kind of and to say, well, you know, it helps us pay for another FTE. So what? What's that do for me as a licensee? And I think that that's one of the things, if I may finish up, Mr. Chair, is that if we were to allow this, what I'm wondering is if indexing in the future on these fees wouldn't be a prudent thing to do so that licensees don't see, you know, once every 4 or 5 years a big increase coming at them.
Good point. Go ahead. Please.
Yes, Representative Jensen, Representative Cromwell.
Cromwell,
thank you. Yeah, I'm glad that you asked that question, because the value that the licensees see, and I'll address that issue first, is they know firsthand what can happen in industry with unlicensed activity. By the agency regulating unlicensed tax preparation in Oregon, protects their industry. Also, it protects the credibility of their profession. The comments that we got back, and we did track them, you know, the positive comments as well as anything that was slightly negative. I mentioned earlier, the only negative is they had some perception that maybe one of the fees should have been a little higher, or maybe theirs should have been a little lower. But they understand $75 for using the consultant as an example, to have a license to own your own business and work independently, preparing tax returns in an industry that has a lot of credibility, they feel is a very reasonable effort. And by increasing it $20, and since the board has made an effort to talk to the associations, we started this process. It was actually in the budget presentation that was done last year, saying we're not asking for a fee increase, but we realized then that we weren't going to be able to continue to maintain with the current staff that we had. By adding that staff person, we actually are going to increase our service to licensees. We're going to increase our response time. We're going to process licensing, just the simple processing of creating a license and getting it out to them, just the application process, because we now are having to take that staff technical person that does that. Their responsibilities are also to file things away and to make copies of things. And so we will not only provide better service to our licensees, but we also will be protecting the consumer. And our licensees know firsthand the harm that comes from unlicensed activity. And this agency is charged with regulating unlicensed personal income tax preparation in Oregon. And we are the people that if you contact and you have a problem with someone who doesn't have a license, we are the one that helps you resolve that problem. Does that answer your question? Thank you.
Representative Edwards.
How long do the licenses last?
Representative Jensen, excuse me, Chair Jensen, Representative Edwards. The two types of licenses, consultant license, they expire the end of May. They last 12 months and expire the preparer's license, they expire the end of September. They are also 12 months. Business licenses coincide. If you're a consultant and own a business, it will expire the same time along with preparers.
Thank you. In a lot of places, the licenses are spread out renewals as opposed to a certain time. Is there a reason that yours are the way they are?
Chair Jensen, Representative Beyer, thank you for your question. The reason is because of having four staff people. We are able to divide the workflow that way, and instead of having to do it throughout the whole year. It is timed in the April 15th is when we start the consultant renewal process. That's because our compliance staff is finishing up tax season and is able to help back up while the licensing starts. Our education, when we do the second renewal for the preparers, that's getting them renewed while we now we're not having all the examination things. It's before we start doing all the testing. Most of our testing is done at the end of the season, right before tax season starts. So by not having it being ongoing and sporadic throughout the year, the agency is effectively able to do 4,400 licenses by dividing it into two instead of having it go up and down where we don't have the number of staff. Because we actually back each other up with four people.
Thank you.
Other questions? The $250,000, give or take some change, beginning cash balance in the agency. Is there a reason that you need that kind of beginning cash balance?
Yes, there is. The $250,000 figure.
$247,000 or whatever, you know. I'm not a tax preparer, so, you know, we don't quibble over a few dollars in the committee. You can find it on before the packages, like just a couple sheets before the packages, page 59.
Okay. I just wanted to get my facts together. Chair Jensen, the figure on the $247,699 reflects the ending balance as of June. We process our consultant and our business registrations from April 15th through the end of May, and they have a 15-day additional grace period. That's when the agency gets most of its money in. That's why that figure is so high. That's why I reflected earlier to March is actually a better month to look at as far as a low, because we have the renewal that comes in September. We have examination monies that come in November and December, but March is the time when we don't have the income coming in.
I understand that. And I'm sure you gave me the March figure, but tell me what it was again.
$192,499 is what is projected for March of 07.
Well, $192,499?
Yes.
It's still $200,000 cash beginning fund balance.
Which is...
And at a time that you're at your lowest. Is that right?
Correct. Which is in line with the four-month reserve that we were charged with and being financially sound. Okay. That we should have a four-month, be able to operate the agency with a four-month ending balance. In the past, the board got itself in financial problems by using its ending balance to operate the next year. We still have, even without the position, which we indicate is $80,000, we still will have those other expenses. We will still have rents. We will still have salaries. We will still have other expenses that right. would minimize our financial stability.
Okay. Are there other questions? I guess that's it. Good luck when we get to the work session.
Okay. Thank you very, very much, and I will get you all a response to the two questions that I took earlier.
Thank you very kindly.
Thank you.
Is there anything else?
Yep.
It's a miracle. But we are...